Around half of kids wheeze at least once by the time they're 6 years old. You probably recognize the sound of a wheeze, that high-pitched whistling noise while you breathe. It happens when airways are inflamed and swollen. And if they only have one wheezing episode in their life, don't worry about it. But about 20% of kids have recurrent wheezing. This means they have trouble breathing more than twice a year. It means missing soccer and dance lessons. They miss school because they can't stop coughing. They end up in emergency rooms because they can't breathe. As a baby, Hannah was one of these kids. Here's Melanie, her mom, sharing their experience.
So it all started when Hannah, I would say, was under 1 year old. She was getting sick very often, and every time we entered the hospital, they would tell us that, it's pneumonia. Here's some antibiotics, go home. To be honest with you, it was very scary. So Hannah's dad was kind of like, Mel, I don't think this is a virus. I don't think this is pneumonia. Like, this is something else. And essentially, it started with a cold, the runny nose and the cough. But then with Hannah, it progressed where she had labored breathing. But like, if you look at your child's neck, you could see it going in deep. That's what Hannah was experiencing. As well as when she was breathing, her tummy would kind of dig in deep where her ribs were sticking out. So it was a lot of that, and that was happening very quickly. And as a parent, when you're seeing your child having these issues, you're like freaking out, right? Very stressful. I lost a lot of days of work because Hannah used to be sick a lot. Like, that in itself was scary. We've been to the ER so many times, and they constantly would give her the puffers. And a certain point in time, you're like, this is not working. And mother's intuition, right? Or like a parent's intuition, you know something's wrong. You know what? I'm challenging this. So I think after a certain amount of visits, you kind of figure out like, this is something more.
Leaving the hospital, often with puffers and antibiotics, but no concrete answers, is a common experience. But for Hannah and other kids like her, antibiotics don't solve the problem long term. Because Hannah wasn't sick with pneumonia, or bronchiolitis, or a respiratory virus. What she needed was the right diagnosis and the right treatment. And without it, they kept ending up back where they started. There was this lovely doctor,
I'll never forget. She was like this, you're back again? And she was like this isn't pneumonia. Let me refer you to our Sick Kids clinic.
You're listening to Sick Kids Versus, where we take you to the front lines in the fight for child health. I'm Hannah Bank, and this is Sick Kids Versus Breathlessness. In children under 5, wheezing is common. It impacts so many infants and preschoolers, but is rarely linked to a chronic diagnosed condition. One reason for this is that most kids only wheeze once, and it's usually related to a bad viral infection. So it makes sense to hold off on more invasive testing. Lung tests, like pulmonary function tests, are widely available to older kids, but only available at specialized clinics for babies and toddlers. An added layer of complexity for preschoolers is that most medications for wheezing, like inhaled steroids, aren't always safe or effective. So doctors kind of hit a wall where there are no more medications that can be given. And it's not until a child turns 6 that they can start exploring alternatives. So what do we do for kids like Hannah? Because having a toddler with persistent wheezing is incredibly stressful for parents and disruptive to family life too. It can be upsetting for parents to see their child struggle to catch their breath. And in spite of repeat visits to healthcare providers and the ER, fail to get concrete answers. Here's Melanie again, talking about the burden of illness on parents.
The amount of time I missed from work, and I had amazing bosses who realized, like, we get it, take care of your family. Because the amount of in and out of ERs, and you know, like, just going to the hospital is draining in itself. The amount of walk-in clinics we've gone to, it was stressful.
Reducing the stress and burden of breathing disorders on parents and children is important to Dr. PJ Subbarao. She is a clinician scientist in pediatric respiratory medicine at SickKids, and she's been studying breathing disorders for nearly 20 years. She's interested in improving the diagnosis and treatment of preschool children with persistent wheezing.
The biggest issue that I face as a pediatrician in pediatric hospitals is the fact that we have kids clogging up our emergency room due to recurrent wheezing exacerbations. And we keep going, it's viral bronchiolitis, it's this, it's that, but we don't want to label them. I think regardless of whether we label it or not, it means that we should start thinking about how to treat it. Because then we can reduce the risk of kids coming to emergency room because of wheezing.
I asked PJ what she meant by improving the diagnosis and treatment of wheezing.
So that means simpler tools that will empower patients to know when to seek medical care and seek advice, providing tools, simple tools and algorithms to family practitioners and pediatricians, and simple practice guidelines to improve their comfort and improve outcomes, and identifying the small proportion of children who don't respond to available treatments and earlier identifying them for specialist referral for medications and personalized treatments that are going to be effective.
PJ was the first doctor who saw Hannah at SickKids. I asked her about what she remembered from that visit.
She is just such a sweetheart. And so the way I met Hannah actually was really interesting because she presented to the emergency room. She was diagnosed with pneumonia. And I remember seeing her with the fellow saying, something, you know, let's look at this x-ray, have her come back to my clinic because we need to make sure, one, it fully resolves, and two, we didn't understand why they keep telling her she has pneumonia. There's something funny going on here. And the mom had been going to different family care providers, different walk-in clinics, different pediatricians, and different healthcare providers, trying to get an answer as to why her child kept getting sick so frequently. When we went through some of the questions and we really started to delve into her history, first thing that came up is that she had quite a bit of mucus production. We needed to figure out what kind of inflammation did she have that was causing all this mucus buildup. And that was causing her to have plugs in her lung that looked like pneumonia, but was actually just mucus plugs and inflammation.
PJ started treating Hannah to make it easier for her to breathe. But she also wanted to understand the type of her inflammation. She carried out further testing to look at some of the cells in her lungs and discovered that Hannah was having recurrent infections caused by changes in her airway microbiome. The microbiome refers to the bacteria that naturally lives in our guts and on our bodies. And so she treated that as well. Here's Melanie explaining Hannah's additional treatments.
She had a bronchoscopy, hopefully I'm pronouncing that right, which essentially like cleans out her airways. And then we actually had surgery because Hannah also had a sleep apnea too. For anyone who doesn't know what sleep apnea is, it's pretty much when your child goes to bed and all they do is snore. They sound like a 50-year-old person snoring all day. And Hannah was not getting sleep properly. Again, always sick. So she had to like remove her tonsils and adenoids. And Hannah was 2 years old when she had the surgery. So a little bit nerve-wracking, obviously, like having your child do surgery.
Kids with large tonsils and adenoids often have disruptive snoring, as well as a lot of inflammation in their upper airway, and this can make it hard to swallow. And when you have difficulty swallowing, there's a theory that bacteria is introduced into the lower airways and lungs. Using antibiotics reduces some of the inflammation in the nose and lungs. Removing the tonsils and adenoids can decrease breathing and coughing symptoms.
The funny part is once your surgery is done, you know, after staying in the hospital, they come home after a couple of days. The first night they slept in their crib, I was awake because I'm like, they're not snoring. Are they breathing? Like, is this okay? And I remember telling Dr. PJ, like, I remember the first night they came home to sleep. I was like up all night because I was just checking. Are they breathing? Like I hear her, but the snoring, like it was different, right? The outcome of it was just amazing. We're not in the ER anymore. Like, it's just a good news story. I can say from 2 years old and Hannah's 9 now, we haven't been in the ER for asthma problems at all, which is amazing.
PJ diagnosed Hannah with severe asthma. Wheezing is the cardinal symptom of asthma. Asthma is one of the most common and chronic conditions in children. It causes airways to narrow, making it very hard to breathe. But with a diagnosis and the right treatments, asthma can be controlled.
I think the silver lining was that diagnosis that Hannah got, because I think that put me at ease. There was less stress because we knew that there was something wrong with her, but we didn't medically know as parents. So once, you know, that ER doctor's like, this is asthma, I was like, thank God we found what the problem was. Once we got referred to the SickKids clinic and we saw Dr. PJ, it's just been a blessing from there.
As Hannah's grown older, her type of lung inflammation has changed, which means her asthma has changed too. But her control of it has remained constant because PJ continually reassesses her to make sure she's getting the right treatment.
We do go to the clinics a lot, like every 3 months. But again, it is amazing because they go through like this check and balance that Dr. PJ has, which is like, how is she doing? When does she cough? Like, it's all these series of questions that kind of understand where her asthma is.
Those questions that Melanie's talking about, she's talking about CHART, short for Childhood Asthma Risk Tool. CHART is a symptom-based screening tool designed by PJ and a team of researchers at SickKids that detects asthma risk in young children. With CHART, PJ's team identified 90% of three-year-old kids who would go on to have persistent wheezing by age 5. That was significantly better than prior tests, which only identified kids with allergic asthma, and just 30 to 40% of kids with persistent wheezing in the same age range. I wanted to know why a predictive tool like CHART is so important to PJ.
The one message I would like people to leave with is asthma runs the spectrum from very mild in the community to very severe. But in any scenario, children die from asthma.
Earlier detection and diagnosis of asthma allows doctors to treat kids sooner, so they suffer less and avoid going to the hospital, which in turn lowers costs to the healthcare system. For PJ, waiting for a child to turn 6 to be diagnosed with asthma is too late. And that's why she wanted to develop a screening tool like CHART to try and predict which kids would go on to have breathing disorders like asthma. Beyond identifying children at risk for developing asthma, PJ wants an overhaul of how preschool asthma in the community is managed. She thinks that pediatricians and family doctors need to be better supported, and that parents and patients need more information too.
We need to be reaching out to pediatricians, primary healthcare practitioners, the front lines of who are really struggling with identifying these kids. And more importantly, we need to simplify this so that parents who actually are the ones really suffering and watching these kids can answer it really quickly. For me, the aha moment was, who's the audience here? It's not doctors, and it's not specialists. It's parents.
CHART can be used by parents and by family doctors or nurses. It's non-invasive, can be done on the spot, and it's free. PJ and her team have shown CHART's benefits, and they're working towards validating its use in clinical practice.
Out of all the research, what did you sort of filter down sort of the 5 most important questions that one needs to answer?
So one is, how many times has your child wheezed in the last year? We ask them, have they been to the emergency room have they been hospitalized for wheezing? And then we ask them if they've had medications for wheezing. Do they wheeze with exercise or activity? And do they wheeze in between colds? And then the last question we ask is, how troublesome is that wheezing? Does it wake them from sleep? And those are kind of the questions that we ask. You know, the number of wheeze episodes is probably the most predictive. And then the fact that you have a wheezing attack that causes an emergency room visit or hospitalization, that is the second most predictive question.
And then does that help categorize patients into high risk and low risk? What is sort of the next?
Yeah. So after you answer those questions, it really helps us understand whether you're high risk, which is you've had more than two episodes within the last year and you went to the hospital or you were given a medication. And if you're high risk, you need to have a conversation with your family doc or pediatrician to really understand, is this asthma? In the past, most of our algorithms to diagnose asthma in preschool have really focused on only identifying those children who have allergic asthma. Because that meant at the time of screening, you could automatically give them a medication that would work against the form of asthma that they had. And all the other kids who had a different form of asthma were not identified. And what we also learned is that those other forms of asthma lead to changes in your lung function and they affect the growth of your lungs. So we have to treat it. We have to figure out better ways of treating it. And we have newer treatments that are effective for that form of asthma.
I asked PJ how the journey would have been different if their doctors had access to CHART when kids like Hannah started showing symptoms. She'll answer that question right after this brief break.
SickKids breakthroughs are only possible with the incredible support of our donors. That's why we're proud to recognize CIBC as the premier partner of the SickKids Versus podcast. The bank and its team members care about making a difference. CIBC has championed SickKids for over 30 years and is the largest corporate supporter of the SickKids Cancer Sequencing Program. CIBC also generously supports SickKids through CIBC Miracle Day and an active employee giving and volunteer program.
Since Hannah was diagnosed with asthma before PJ started using CHART, I wanted to know how her health trajectory might have been different if it was in use when she first presented to PJ in the emergency room.
CHART would have identified her a year or two earlier in her disease course. I think that would have helped identify her for her pediatrician or a family doctor to sort of say, okay, this is somebody who's at high risk.
I asked PJ what her hopes were for the future, especially as it relates to preschool asthma treatments and research.
What we really strive for each one of our patients, and Hannah's a really great example, is with the use of personalized therapy and with really delivering the proper types of treatments earlier on, you reduce the number of asthma attacks and burden of asthma on each child. So they're taking part in dance lessons earlier. They're missing less school. They're not going to emergency room. It's treating the breathing disorder so it doesn't limit their life. The only way these kind of really novel discoveries are possible are through these discovery platforms. Because when you start something like a cohort study, it's not just to answer one question. It's to answer millions of questions that we haven't even planned yet. And that's where philanthropy, it really changes the paradigm. It gives you that flexibility to let your imagination lead where the data is taking you.
Melanie and I spoke about the importance of a collaborative approach to healthcare, one that empowers parents and paves the way for a new generation that is actively engaged in their well-being, like Hannah's. Here she is, showing me how she uses her puffer.
So first, I'm just going to trim my mouth and then I just say, blow it. I count to 10, breathing slowly.
And do you feel better right away when you take it?
I feel better when I take it. So like, let's say I don't take it, I feel like I'm out of breath. But when I take it, I'm not out of breath and I feel way better, so I can do more.
And do you just take one puff or do you take two puffs?
One puff in morning and night.
One puff in morning and night. Thanks for showing me that.
You're welcome.
Is there any sort of advice or words of wisdom that you received from PJ that stick with you?
She actually told me to keep her active. Keep her active, put her in swimming. That was the first thing, is put her in swimming and don't limit her. She's a kid. Let a kid be a kid.
right? And I think that's what we've done with her. Since she was small, Hannah's been very active. We always have her enrolled in sports. It's not sports, it's dance.
Or swimming.
Things will get better. Like, it's going to get better. And that's what I've taken from the team.
From SickKids Foundation, I'm Hannah Bang. Thanks for listening. To support breakthrough research and care at SickKids, please visit sickkidsfoundation.com/podcast. And if you liked this episode, subscribe and rate us wherever you listen to podcasts. SickKids Versus is produced by me, Jasmine Budak, Liz Serrani, Emily Holland, Deanna Chang, and our showrunner, Neil Parmer. This episode was written by Liz Serrani. Sound design and editing by Quill. Check out our show notes for helpful links and resources. Until next time.